Rabbi Yonasan Apeshitz says on the Gemara, the Gemara says in Yoma that Esther was called Ayelas HaShachar in a Perek in Tehillim. She's compared to the dawn. So the Gemara says, Mashachar Sof HaLayla, At Esther Sof HaNisim, Shenichtavu B'Tanach. Just like the dawn is the end of night, so too Esther was the last miracle that was allowed to be written in Tanakh. Hanukkah came after that, but it wasn't written down. It wasn't part of Tanakh. So Yosef Apeshitz asks, L'chora, night is always a symbol of negative and day of positive. So if you want to symbolize the end of the period of miracles, it should be the end of day, not the end of night. Why is she compared to the dawn? She should be compared to Ben Hashmoshes. So he says what it means is the following. If a person is walking in the night, and he can't see a thing in front of him, so he's afraid to move. Then a lightning bolt, right, appears, and he can see 50 yards in front of him. So he walks another 50 yards, confident that there's nothing in front of him. He knows where the obstacles are. Once he gets to that 50 yards, he's stuck again. He doesn't know what's ahead. Another lightning bolt, goes another 50 yards. This goes on all night, till it gets light. Once it starts getting light, he doesn't need the lightning bolts anymore. Now he can see where he's going. Same thing. During the period of Tanakh, every certain amount of years, we needed another miracle to remind us that the Ribono Shel Olam is in control of the world. We forgot. They got used to things happening just on their own. And we began to think that the world just, you know, Olam Kemin Hago Noik, that there's not Hashgachas Hashem. So every once in a while, the Ribono Shel Olam did a miracle to remind us. Once the miracle of Purim happened, it was like the dawn. There wasn't a need for lightning bolts anymore, because Purim showed that the Ribono Shel Olam is always there, not just when there's miracles, but even the natural occurrences of nature, of history, the Ribono Shel Olam's hands behind it. That's what Purim shows. There was no great miracles, but you could see from the obviously coincidences that were beyond reason that even the regular development of what appears to be coincidence is Yad Hashem. Now we can use that as a lesson, right, that all the time, whatever happens in the world is Yad Hashem. So therefore, Purim is like the dawn. It's now, you don't need the miracles anymore. Purim is a proof that even when things are hidden, God is still there. He's hiding his face, but he hasn't abandoned us. He's there behind everything. Just thinking to explain with this, L'chora, Megillas Esther starts with something that really has no bearing on the Megillah. The whole first parak of Megillas Esther is not necessary for us to know the story, right? Well, it could have started with King Ahasuerus needed a queen, because the first queen was deposed. Who cares how she was deposed, okay? And he looked for a queen. And from picking Esther and on, which is in the second parak, the Megillah could have made very much sense for us. We didn't need to know what happened in the first parak. First parak is l'chora, totally extra. The information there is not necessary for the whole nesa. Okay. The Alshich says that the whole inyonim of the first parak is to show us that the nes started already in the Torah. Kodesh Baruch was makim refuah l'makah, not just that all the things that happen are Yad Hashem, but even in the Tzoras themselves, God is already preparing the nes. Because what happened with Vashti and whatever, all those things prepared the way for the nes later on. So the whole first parak is to show us that not just is God involved when he seems to be fixing things up, but even when he thinks to be messing things up, he's already fixing them up. That's one idea the Alshich says, but more than that. That the Gemara says that Purim, we don't say Hallel. Because Meikora Avdei D'Achashverosh, V'Hashta Avdei D'Achashverosh. We started out as slaves to Achashverosh, which represented it by his party and his Malchus, and that we were nothings there, right? And he was the big ruler. Okay, that's the first parak. So Meikora Avdei D'Achashverosh. In the beginning we were slaves of Achashverosh. All of this happened in Golis. And the last parak also doesn't seem to be necessary. Right, especially the first pasuk in the last parak, Vayosem Amelech Achashverosh Mas, right? Even though everybody has a chance of, you know, expressing their feelings about Mas, but Lamaisa, it's not necessary. Who cares if Achashverosh made a tax? It has nothing to do with the story. The answer is that, in my estimation, that's the Hashbah of Achashverosh. Nothing changed. We're still paying taxes to Achashverosh in the end of the Megillah. All the miracles and all the great things were still under the thumb of Achashverosh. We were under his thumb in the first parak, but before the whole thing started, we were under his thumb in the end, after everything's finished. So the whole Nile of Purim wasn't so much that we were redeemed like Mitzrayim, now we're free people. We're still in Golus. But even in Golus, the Rabban Shalom's there. That's what the Nes of Purim is. Right? Even when there's Golus and there's no Geula, and we're still having Tzaris, and we're still paying taxes to Achashverosh, right? Still, miracles happen. The Rabban Shalom doesn't abandon us. He hides his face. But his hidden face doesn't mean he's not there. He's just hidden. So that is the lesson of Purim. That's what Shoshanas Yaakov. Right? Even when we're in the Madrega of Yaakov, Yaakov is when we're on low level. Usually in Golis we're called Yaakov. And Yisrael is when we're on the top. Sarisa and Elohim and Hashim and Elohim. Even when it's only Shoshanas Yaakov, and the only thing that separates us from the nations of the world is that we're not as bad as them. Right? Kishoshana Benachochin. We're like a rose amongst the thorns. Then the only thing different between us is that we're the rose and they're the thorns, and we're in Golis. We're still amongst them. Still, Tzalav Esamecha, Birosam Yachat, Tcheles, Tcheles. Tcheles is the simon of the Kisei HaKoven. Tcheles is Doma L'Yam, and Yam L'Rakia, and the Rakia is Doma L'Kisei HaKoven. So the Tcheles Mordechai shows that even in Golis, the Rabban Shalom is still there. It may be hidden. You have to see it, you know, in hidden ways. It's hidden in the clothing that Achashverosh gave Mordechai as a hint of the fact that the Rabban Shalom was behind it all. Right? And that's the pshat, but you always say, Shuasam Hayisa L'Netzach, V'Shikvasam B'Chol Dor V'Dor. So that gives us the hope that ultimately the Rabban Shalom is going to redeem us. He never abandons us, so we know that he's going to redeem us. But Tikvasam B'Chol Dor V'Dor, we don't see that redemption in every generation. We see Tzoras. But we have hope that it's going to be because we understand the Rabban Shalom never abandons us. And Lahodia, that teaches us, Shekol Kovecho Lo Yevoshu, we never have reason to be embarrassed because the Rabban Shalom is always with us. And Lo Yikomo LaNetzach, and it also gives us the hope that we won't be insulted forever, right? Yikomo is on the outside, people insulting you. Yevoshu is being embarrassed of yourself. We never have reason to be embarrassed because God's always with us. We will be insulted in the short term, but that won't happen forever. Eventually, even the Goyim will recognize that. Lo yikomo LaNetzach kol hachol simcha. Okay.